Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 30th, 2012. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Yotis Sinis, senior author of a paper that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling about the production and function of platelets. Platelets are cell fragments that circulate in the blood and mediate the formation of clots. When they're functioning normally, platelets form clots to prevent blood loss from damaged vessels. Platelets don't have nuclei, so they're very short-lived and must be continuously generated to maintain the circulating population. If the number of platelets in circulation is too low, or the platelets have reduced function, the result is excessive bleeding. Conversely, when there are too many platelets in circulation, or the platelets are overactive, they can form clots that can lead to stroke, heart attack, deep vein thrombosis, or embolisms. Understanding platelet biology is therefore important for human health. Platelets stick to the extracellular matrix that's exposed at sites of blood vessel damage. This binding to the extracellular matrix, or ECM, activates receptors on the platelet surface to induce clot formation. Platelets are produced from megakaryocytes, which are huge cells that reside in the bone marrow. And whereas binding to the ECM activates platelets, megakaryocytes are not activated by binding to ECM. This is important because the bone marrow where the megakaryocytes reside is rich in ECM, yet megakaryocytes do not induce the formation of clots in the bone marrow. Megakaryocytes and platelets have the same repertoire of cell surface receptors, and so it's unclear how megakaryocytes keep from being activated by the ECM in the bone marrow. In a paper that appears in this week's issue of Science Signaling, Yotis Sinis' group reports the results of knocking out an inhibitory receptor that's present on the surface of megakaryocytes and platelets. Mice lacking this receptor had many defects in platelet biology, including reduced numbers of platelets, increased size of platelets, defective platelet function, and increased bleeding. Sinis is a researcher at the University of Birmingham. Welcome, Dr. Sinis.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How do platelets hone in on damaged blood vessels to form clots?
So basically, platelets express a variety of surface receptors. And what these receptors do is they recognize extracellular matrix proteins that get exposed at the site of vascular injury. So when a blood vessel is injured, you get exposure of these proteins in the vessel wall. And then the platelets, when they come in contact with that, they become activated very rapidly. And as part of this activation process, these receptors called integrins go from a low affinity to a high affinity state. And these allow the platelets to firmly adhere to the site of injury and also to each other. So they form what's referred to as a hemostatic plug, which is basically an aggregate of platelets.
As you just mentioned, that platelets are activated to form clots when they bind to extracellular matrix components that are exposed at sites of blood vessel damage. The cell surface receptors that platelets use to bind to the extracellular matrix components are the same receptors that are on megakaryocytes, the cells that produce the platelets. But megakaryocytes aren't activated by extracellular matrix components. What keeps megakaryocytes from being activated in the bone marrow where there's a lot of extracellular matrix?
That's a great question, and really that's one of the questions that underlie this study of ours. So prior to this study, we didn't really know the answer, and we really don't know the full answer yet, but we believe we've discovered an important piece of the puzzle, namely this inhibitory receptor, G6BB, that we think maintains megakaryocytes in a resting or relatively unactive state compared with platelets. So you kind of describe it yourself. There's this paradox where mature megakaryocytes express the same surface receptors as platelets, and yet they don't respond to extracellular matrix in the same way that platelets do. So we were trying to figure out the mechanism of what keeps the megakaryocytes in this resting state. And the second question that we wanted to answer in this study is, how are certain receptors found on the platelets maintained in an inactive state? So you don't want your platelets becoming pre-activated in your circulation. So there's certain mechanisms like physiological inhibitors of platelet activation So we were looking for something that also did that job.
You focused on this receptor called G6BB that's present on the surface of platelets and megakaryocytes. What is that receptor and why did you choose to focus on it?
So G6BB is what's called an ITIM containing receptor. So ITIM is an acronym for immunoreceptor tyrosine-based inhibition motif. And this receptor contains one of these motifs in its cytoplasmic tail. And ITIM receptors were discovered a number of years ago. And their function, or one of their functions, is to inhibit signaling from activation receptors. So a lot of this work was done in immune cells. And it was demonstrated that co-clustering an ITIM receptor with an ITAM receptor, which is an immunoreceptor tyrosine-based activation motif containing receptor, will attenuate the signaling. So structurally, G6BB consists of a single immunoglobulin variable domain in its extracellular region. It has a single transmembrane domain, a consensus ITIM in its cytoplasmic tail, and a consensus ITSM, which is another motif that can act as both an activator or an inhibitory motif. These motifs, the ITIM and the ITSM, they each contain a conserved tyrosine residue in their cytoplasmic tail. And when they're phosphorylated, you can get interactions with SH2 domain-containing proteins. And one of the unique features of G6BB that really piqued our interest in it was that it's constitutively phosphorylated and it has constitutively associated protein tyrosine phosphatases, namely SHIP1 and SHIP2 associated with it. So we identified G6BB on human and mouse platelets about 6-7 years ago, and we just started working on it. We generated antibodies to it, started studying its function in cell lines, and the more we looked at it, the more we found it is, in fact, an inhibitory receptor, and it kind of fit into our hypothesis that it may be one of the mechanisms that maintains megakaryocytes in a quiescent state.
And so in this paper, then, you tested the role of the G6BB receptor in vivo by knocking it out in mice. What do those knockouts look like? How does knocking out G6BB affect platelet function?
Knocking out G6BB basically has a profound effect on platelet production and function in mice. So platelet biologists use knockout mouse models quite extensively because the platelets lack a nucleus. They're very difficult to manipulate using common molecular biology-based approaches. To our surprise, the mice had a dramatic reduction in platelet counts. So this was almost an 80% reduction in their circulating platelet counts. And they tended to bleed more when you cut them. So platelet function was also obligated. So the mice developed normally. They lived to a ripe old age, but they have this very dramatic megakaryocyte platelet defect. And what we think is happening, or we have good evidence that there's this kind of futile cycle taking place in the mice where pre-activated and defective platelets are being cleared from the circulation rapidly. As a result, their thrombopoietin levels go up. This is a cytokine that drives megakaryocyte development and platelet production. Their megakaryocyte counts go up, so they try to make more platelets, but the megakaryocytes themselves continue to pump out defective platelets, and these are, again, taken out of the circulation very rapidly. So you get this futile cycle, and the net effect is this dramatic reduction in platelet counts. Another striking feature of the phenotype of these mice was that platelets from these mice have a severe reduction in surface expression of the collagen receptor, GP6. So there's approximately a 90% reduction in GP6 surface expression. And what we think is happening here is when you get rid of the G6BB, you get tonic signaling from the GP6 receptor. And then to attenuate this, what the mouse does, or the megakaryocyte in the platelet, is they cleave off the extracellular portion of the receptor. So they shed that off. And the way this is done is by upregulating the metalloprotease atom 10. And this has been shown previously by other groups that it causes shedding of GP6 and another receptor on the platelet surface called GP1B-alpha, which binds von Willebrand factor. And we have evidence that both of these receptors are being shed from the surface of the platelets. So you get this downregulation of activation receptors.
And those are, the collagen receptors are the receptors that allow the platelet to stick to ECM or allow it to be activated by binding to ECM?
Yeah, there's actually two collagen receptors on platelets. One is called GP6, and it's an activation receptor. So it signals through the ITAM-containing Fc receptor gamma chain. And the second one is the integrin alpha-2 beta-1, which goes to high affinity state on an activated platelet, and it allows the platelet to firmly adhere to the collagen. So the GP6 Fc receptor gamma chain complex is an activation receptor. And we have evidence both from cell lines and from these mice that the G6BB is kind of a break that prevents this receptor from signaling in a tonic manner in the platelet. So when you get rid of that break, you start to get signaling from this receptor. And as a negative feedback, the platelet or the megakaryocyte will chop off the extracellular part of it, and it'll also downregulate expression of the Fc receptor gamma chain.
You mentioned that when you knock out the G6BB receptor, the platelets circulating are effectively pre-activated. They're activated without being bound to the site of blood vessel damage where they're making a clot. And so they're removed from circulation. Are the megakaryocytes lacking G6BB also activated?
Yeah, they are pre-activated. We do have evidence of that. Namely, we find that megakaryocytes in the bone marrow of the G6B knockout mice have enhanced P-selectin expression on their surface. So P-selectin is a transmembrane protein that's normally found in alpha granules and megakaryocytes and platelets. And when the megakaryocyte or the platelet becomes activated, this receptor translocates to the plasma membrane. And what we find is the megakaryocytes have increased expression of P-selectin on their surface when there's no G6BB around. So this is some evidence that the megakaryocytes are in fact pre-activated in the bone marrow of these mice.
Since G6BB appears to keep megakaryocytes and platelets in an inactive state until the platelets bind to extracellular matrix where they need to form a clot, how is the inhibitory function of G6BB overcome when a platelet binds to extracellular matrix?
Yeah, that's a great question and something we're currently investigating. So our current hypothesis is that G6BB might be differentially regulated in megakaryocytes and platelets. And one of the ways in which we believe G6BB is regulated is through compartmentalization in the plasma membrane of platelets. So the platelet plasma membrane can be divided into lipid rafts and non-lipid rafts. And in the lipid raft fraction, this region of the membrane contains specific signaling proteins, and the non-lipid raft lacks those signaling proteins. And we think that in a resting platelet, the GP6, so the collagen activation receptor, is in close proximity with the G6BB. And because they're in close proximity, the SHIP1 and SHIP2 that are constitutively associated with the G6BB can prevent tonic signaling from the GP6. When a platelet comes into contact with collagen, a proportion of that GP6 will translocate into the lipid raft, and then it can signal. And what we find, this preliminary evidence, is that the G6BB is highly localized to the non-lipid rafts. And for the GP6 to signal, it has to move away from the G6BB that's in that area. Now, we don't know if that's taking place in megakaryocytes. We have good evidence that it is taking place in platelets. So we think there might be some sort of differential regulation in megakaryocytes and platelets. We also don't know what the ligand of G6BB is, and it could be that megakaryocytes are exposed to it, whereas platelets are not, or vice versa. And this is another way that G6BB might be differentially regulated in megakaryocytes versus platelets.
Dr. Senes, thank you for speaking with me.
Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
That was Yotis Senes, senior author of a research article that appears in the October 30th issue of Science Signaling. That paper is by Mazarian and colleagues, and it's titled, Mice Lacking the ITIM-Containing Receptor G6BB Exhibit Macrothrombocytopenia and Aberrant Platelet Function. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.